back and they score! And Giroux's got it! He's a push it by Antti Niemi!
It's time for the 5-Minute Major Podcast.
What is the significance of that name?
Tiger score!
Now here's your hosts, Matt Mastrogiovanni and Dave Morris.
That's what the people came to see.
A 5-Minute Major Podcast. What took you so long to finally seal the deal, my man? Let's go.
Hey guys, how's it going? Welcome to another episode of 5-Minute Major. Dave here with my broadcast partner in crime, Matt Mastrogiovanni. Normally, Matt, I would ask you how you're doing this evening, but I feel like based on recent events and how the Flyers play has been lately, I can kind of tell how you might be feeling.
There's a lot going on, I think, you know. Aside from my personal life, which, you know, I'm sure no one really cares about.
Well, I care.
I appreciate that. But, you know, I don't know how much the listeners care. But, you know. It's like surreal is like a feeling, disgusted. Yeah. You feel like, you know, this sounds like a kindergarten word, but you feel like icky, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I feel let down.
I don't even know if let down's the right word.
Disappointed.
You feel let down. I mean, again, there's a lot.
Disappointed, angry.
Yeah. Confused.
Yeah. Just
there's a lot of confusion. But yeah, I mean, obviously we're dropping all of these, you know, different adjectives for how we're feeling, but Dave, we might as well jump right into it. Once again, we have to start the podcast on a serious note. You know, giving people the update on a very groundbreaking and very heartbreaking and very earth-shattering issue that has, you know, come back. It came back to light in a very powerful way a couple weeks ago, just last week, really. But yeah, you know, just take it away, Dave. We'll kind of, you know, go through the motions, so to speak, and, you know, do what we got to do to.
Yeah.
Some shred of professional reporting that we can hear as two dudes that record a podcast in their living rooms.
Yeah. This is following up how we started last week's podcast. And I'm sure if you're a hockey fan, even just an average Philadelphia sports fan now, you know what we're about to talk about. Following up from last week's podcast, obviously, where we, you know, brought to the events that five former hockey players from the 2018 World Juniors team had to report to London police for charges of sexual assault. And then there were five former players that took leaves of absences from their professional hockey teams out of nowhere. And, you know, I kind of made the saying, if it walks like a duck and quacks like a duck, it's probably a duck. Mm-hmm. And just 1 week later, it broke literally this afternoon, Tuesday, pardon me, Tuesday, January 30th, 2024, about 4 hours ago, around 4 p.m. when you texted me the link, Mastro.
Yeah.
But the report came from TSN and Rick Westhead. Four NHLers being Carter Hart, Michael McLeod, Dylan Dubé, Cal Foote, and then Alex Fordmanton, who is Ottawa Senators property, have all been officially directed to surrender to London police and be charged with sexual assault in connection with an alleged incident that occurred during the 2018 World Junior Hockey event for Team Canada. Mm-hmm. Of course, those are all the players who were taking their leave of absences. Now mm-hmm. they have been told they are officially being charged. Rick Westhead then added that Gary Ellis, the former head of Toronto Police Services Sex Crimes Unit, told TSN in an interview the players would be photographed, fingerprinted, and directed to sign an undertaking not to have contact with the alleged victim, either the first time they report to police or at a subsequent date. Lawyers who specialize in criminal sexual assault cases have told me a trial in this case is unlikely before 2026. So all that being said, all the players have released statements through their lawyers in which every single one, shocking, is saying that this is a false accusation and they are all innocent. Carter Hart's lawyer did post out this statement on Twitter, which was repeated by all the major beats. I got it from Chris Johnson, but of course they put it on their own Twitter. That's Savard Foy LLP. They are at Savard Foy on Twitter, where their statement reads as such. Our statement on behalf of Carter Hart. We act for Carter Hart and confirm he has been charged with one count of sexual assault. He is innocent and will provide a full response to this false allegation in the proper forum, a court of law. Until then, we have no comment. And all the other statements from all the other players essentially copy and paste, just change the player's name. So this, Matt, is it's a very real thing now. Last week, speculation ran amok. And I think the biggest it stinks on from a fan perspective because Carter Hart, you know, I'm going to put the fan goggles on here for a second. From the fan perspective, we're now going, oh my God, we were a rebuilding team who might have been overperforming, but now we've lost our starting and franchise goaltender. And now, oh my God, I have all this Carter Hart money. All this Carter Hart merch I've spent my hard-earned money on, being jerseys, pucks, memorabilia, etc. If he's proven guilty, this is all worthless. Oh my God, how do I tell my child, who Carter Hart was his favorite player, why he's no longer on the team, etc., etc., etc.? But then from the other basis, it's now going, the victim of this crime deserves justice. Mm-hmm. And if these players are proven guilty by a jury, like we said on last week's podcast, they need to be banned from the National Hockey League and furthermore punished to the fullest extent of Canadian law. This is if this is true, this is disgusting and vile behavior. And I personally will not have it be a part of the pro hockey team that I am a fan of. But again, the thing we have to remember right now, Twitter.com is already a nightmare normally. Mm-hmm. And I say that on its best of days. But of course, instantly in the year 2024 that we live on and we've lived in the past couple years on social media, you know, everyone's jumping to the gambit, guilty until proven innocent. We all need to take a step back, and while this does not look good, and there's clearly enough evidence to prove these players guilty, as of right now, Canada has the similar laws to us here in the United States of America. The law of the land is innocent until proven guilty. And I urge everyone, I know things do not look good, and let's be real here for a second, Mastro. These guys probably are guilty. And that's just the truth of the matter. It's like 99.9999%, when a victim of sexual abuse comes out and reports it to the law, it's accurate. So this is not something that is fibbed on often. So even though all this is looking like guilty, 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 until that is proven official, we as a podcast, we as human beings need to remember innocent until proven guilty is a thing. But the other thing we need to, you know, accept as a podcast, as fans, is that whether or not Hart is proven guilty or innocent, I think it's safe to say he's played his last game ever as a Philadelphia Flyer in that 7-4 loss against the Colorado Avalanche in which he got pulled in. Because even if he is proven innocent, this is going to be a story that will linger on his career as a black mark no matter what. And no NHL team is going to want to associate themselves with him. And I'm seeing all the jokes online about you better learn Russian, Carter. I'm not going to be the one to go there. To me, I think that's vaguely inappropriate. But also, you know, if he committed this sexual assault, he's a predator and he's a scumbag. But we cannot say that for sure because this has not taken its time in the court of law just yet. But just right now, as a fan, as a guy who owns several Carhartt jerseys, I am sad. I'm disappointed. I'm disgusted. I feel for friends of ours who have signed merchandise by him. But then I feel this huge sense of just like, I just hope the victim is going to be okay and she gets her rightful justice, because we do need to believe survivors. And there's a far too many big chunk of the internet right now that's just skewering her and automatically going, oh, she's lying. It's for the money. To be that type of person, you just really have to be that vile. But I don't want to ramble on this any longer, Matt, because I don't want to keep talking in circles. But it's a sad moment overall. And it's definitely the type of thing that could take the wind out of a team's sails. And this is not going to be going away anytime soon. And we're going to have to wait to see what happens. But like I said earlier, Carhartt, and rightfully so, is probably done being a Philadelphia Flyer.
Yeah, I think, again, you know, I can echo a lot of what you said. And again, it does come down to that whole innocent until proven guilty. But the fact that they have been formally charged with something, you know, I think it's safe to say that, you know, Hart's definitely not playing for the Flyers again this season. I think depending on how the law proceedings unfold from here is going to, I mean,
he can't play till the trial's done.
Yeah, that's true.
And I heard rumblings, and I'm not being to cut you off there, Matt, but I do want to make note, and I meant to make a note in my opening monologue there. 26,
really, for a trial? That's insane. That's
what Rick Westhead is tweeting out, but I do want to make a note. You were, of course, at the games this weekend, and I don't know if you can confirm nor deny this, but I heard rumblings from other people at the game and saw on Twitter that there was zero Carhartt merch for sale or zero evidence of him being on the team in the Wells Fargo Center this weekend.
Yeah, I didn't see anything. I mean, I didn't really look. Like, I didn't make it my mission to look, but I didn't kind of have my eye kind of come across anything Hart. Maybe the Flyers were kind of like breathing a sigh of relief that it was Mark Recchi Day, and a lot of the, you know, in-arena advertising was for Flyers Hall of Fame / alumni, because obviously alumni game was on Friday night as well. But yeah, I didn't, you know, I'm sure people were, you know, making it their mission, so to speak, to find something Carhartt, but I didn't see anything in passing or anything like that. So, I mean, I think it's the right thing to do, you know? Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, we'll get to the impact that I think it has on the team as a whole, because I would say that it's the right, I don't know if it's the right way of thinking, it's an avenue of thinking as to why the Flyers have had so much trouble lately, where a guy like Carhartt, again, you know, is just a kid, 25 years old, you know, probably best friends with these guys on the Flyers. You saw how close-knit the team was in the locker room, on the ice, all that type of stuff. And to have him...
Yeah, he's 25.
Ripped away to, you know, deal with the possible consequences of his actions in the past is, I'm sure it's got to, you know, rattle some cages. And it's shocking to these guys as players, but also as people. So, you know, you wonder what the impact this has had, what the impact has been from this situation, and how it's bled into the play of the Flyers as of late. Because obviously they're on, a 5-game losing streak right now.
Correct.
Yeah, and, you know, Saturday's game was an indicator of just not a fun time, to say the least. I'll get more into that soon. But Yeah, it's, you know, there's nothing else to say really, except from the fact that this is, like you said, it's gotten very real very quickly. And from here, it's all in the hands of the law, in the hands of a jury of their peers, I guess, you know, that all that legality jazz. Mm-hmm. But I know I saw briefly, too, when we started recording, I just scrolled through Twitter quick, and I know Pierre LeBrun reached out to the NHL for comment. They're not commenting on anything at this point.
Shocking.
I think until, yeah, I mean, it's just, it's tough, you know. But I think both things can be true, where you want justice for the victim, but you also can believe in the, like, the due process system.
You have to.
Yeah. I mean, without that, you know, there's, regardless of if it's sexual assault, murder, or anything like that, you know, if there's no sort of trial or evidence, anything like that, you know, it's just a lawless land, no matter where you live. But that's not the point here. The point is, obviously, you know, these players have surrendered to the law. They'll be fingerprinted. They'll be booked, as they say. And, you know, it's going to be a long process from here. And, it's a weird feeling, you know? So, and again, putting my fan hat on too, like, I have a Carter Hart jersey in my closet, and I'm just like, I texted you, obviously, that, like, and I was like, what the hell am I supposed to do with this thing? And luckily, I mean, again, there's probably places in and around the Philadelphia area that could remove said numbers and name, and hopefully, you know, put another one on there. So I might be, you know, I mean, it's probably the best course of action at this point anyway. It's, you know, there's a degree of surrealness to it. There's a degree of sadness for, you know, the victim, hoping that they get justice. If these guys are proven to be guilty, you know, there's definitely not going to be any sort of sentiment for them, as opposed to, you know, good riddance, and, you know, they're going to be rotting in jail for a few years at least. So, but again, I think, you know, especially on Twitter and all the social media, it's just a lot of speculation. And you know, Rick Westhead has been unreal in this whole reporting process. And, you know, he's kind of been the spearhead to this whole, you know, breaking news, all that type of stuff. And I think, again, he's got to be the most trusted source on this at this point, aside from the actual police. Because, you know, I don't mean to make a joke out of it, but you see in any sport, you know, when I'm not saying sexual assault, but I'm just saying all the fake type of accounts that are out there. It's social media in general that can be, you know, toxic to these types of situations, where people want to be first rather than accurate, something like that. So, but yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like you said, we can kind of talk in circles about it, but I think it's best to give people the facts, give them the up-to-date situation, and, you know, we let things play from here, and just kind of see what happens. The one thing I do have to say too, before we move on, I don't know if it was the Calgary Flames PR or if it was Dylan Dubé himself, but I think it's a spit in the face of people that are actually dealing with mental health issues.
I'm glad you brought this up, Mastro, because I was
going to cite that you are taking a leave of absence to work on your mental health, when in reality you're being charged with sexual assault and, you know, are potentially a criminal. I think, you know, whether that was the Flames organizations themselves, the PR department, or it was Dylan Dubé, how do you do that? Like, it's, you know, as someone who's been, like, and I'm not afraid to say it, I've been going to therapy the past few months, and it's helped me a lot, you know, not just in my personal life, but with, you know, well, it helps me in my personal life, obviously, but, you know, it's for these people that actually have these problems and have to, you know, I know Patrick Laine just went into the player assistance program. You see other guys go into it, especially, you know, football, like when they retire, stuff like that. It's like, you think that, you know, not just hockey, but in sports and in life in general, there's always there can be some sort of stigma around getting help with mental health. And this does not help it at all. This is a you know, two steps back type of situation to cite that as the reason why you're going on a leave of absence when, again, you know, less than 2 weeks later, it comes out that you're getting charged with sexual assault. So I think that's a, you know, a very big, well, a huge slap in the face to people that, you know, are actually dealing with these types of things. And it is affecting, you know, their job or their career in sports or, you know, whatever. So, yeah, that's just, I think that's a kind of a very big shame on you moment for, well, Dylan Dubé especially, but if the Calgary Flames, someone on the Calgary Flames PR team had to okay.
They okayed that tweet and that statement being sent out. And they put that on their social media and on their websites. They should honestly be fined. That's blatant. That's false information. You could have just said for personal reasons like the rest of the players did. But no, you cited mental health as the reason. And like you said, Matt, that's a slap in the face to everyone who has ever dealt or is dealing with mental health issues. You know, you mentioned it, but I personally, you know, 10 years ago, I was suicidal and I went to therapy to help get my head right back. And I remember being at that place when I told former, you know, this is about to get heavy, former co-host Jake Harrison, he was the first person I told that I wanted to kill myself years ago. And went to therapy, and I was in therapy for months. And yet here I am 10 years later, married to the love of my life. You guys are all in my life. And from knowing what it takes from being a person who actually has mental health issues and to be on the other side of it now, to see him try and hide behind that, it's just disgusted. Absolutely disgusted. And Calgary should not be allowed to get away with that. The Flames need to be reprimanded in some form or fashion. They have been, the NHL has fined people for lesser and way stupider reasons.
Yeah.
Fine the ass out of the Flames. You can't, in 2024, you cannot be making a statement like that when it's tied to what it's tied to in youth mental health. Ridiculous.
Yeah. Yep. Well, first of all, Dave, I'm glad you're still here with us.
Thank you.
It's very, you're a very bright light in a lot of people's lives. I'm going to give you a nice friendly tire pump.
Yes, thank you, sir. Thank you.
So
right back at you. No, we've had, for those who don't know, Master and I, we don't just record this podcast. We've been friends for almost 15 years now. Yeah. And there have been times where I've been yelled at my wife for saying, are you done the podcast yet? Because you and I have been chatting for like a half an hour to 45 minutes after the podcast.
Not so, now, honey. I'm with the boys.
Yeah, having a night with the bro. So it's
but more than a podcast. I mean, again, like I think there's obviously, again, there's different severities to mental health too, and again, you know, it's okay not to be okay, as they say, and you know, it's tough for people to ask for help, especially you know, it's a lot more prevalent for men to be silent about their mental health, and you know, silent until it's too late, where they take their lives, sadly. I mean, that's not to, again, harp on this, but it's obviously a very important subject, but that's a main reason why, you know, like, I know I did it kind of to a degree to look cool, because it did look cool, but like for Movember, like that's a very powerful initiative for men's health awareness, where you change the face of men's health. And, you know, even though it's just a mustache on my face, thanks. You can, you know, open the door to a deeper conversation and say like, hey, like, this is why I do this. You know, this is why I look like a 70s porn star for an entire month, because, you know, there's a lot of dudes out there that they don't know. They, you know, they feel like it's not, quote unquote, mainly to get help. You know, they don't want to talk about their mental health. But I think, again, it's becoming a lot more prevalent in a good way that especially men are, you know, either just talking to friends like we do sometimes, talking to, you know, parents, significant others, anyone about, you know, hey, like, I'm not having such a good time lately. And, you know, here's what's on my mind, stuff like that. Like, it doesn't have to be, you know, you sit down and do anything, quote unquote, like soft, like you don't have to have a super soft birthday party and talk about your feelings. Like, you can talk about your feelings while, you know, you're chopping wood or drinking beers, like, you know. And I think that's, if you're a guy, especially, you want to feel, you know, there's different ways of feeling like a man, so to speak, but talking about your feelings is also a very manly thing to do. So you can say, hey, I'm not having a good time lately, and then, you know, go use a chainsaw. Like, you could do, you could still do manly stuff, like go fishing, or, you know, I don't know. I'm trying to bring out like the lighter side of it. But again, all in all, I think, you know, regardless of the Calgary Flames, they're, you know, complete, you know, their shit show and Dylan Dubé, all that type of stuff. My main thing, I know this has turned into a PSA for mental health awareness, but that's okay. You know, it's okay not to be okay. It's completely fine to ask for help. And, you know, we're going to, I think we wrap it up on that positive as opposed to shedding more light on the completely wrong way to do it. So, but with that, Dave, I think we can kind of wrap up that topic of discussion for the time being until there is more that does come out that we can report on, you know, when we do record our podcast. We have to talk about more negativity, but luckily not nearly as heavy as these legal, you know, these legal matters that have been brought to light over the past couple weeks. It's still negative, but again, it's not nearly as negative. The Flyers, you know, we thought vibes were high, and now vibes are low. I don't know if you saw Elmo's tweet the other day when he was like, hey, it's Elmo, you know, Elmo's just checking in, how's everyone doing? And I thought it was hilarious, some of the responses. Someone was like, listen, Elmo, I'm at my limit here. Like, and I was just like, I was dying. So that was some, you know, comedic relief. Thank you, Elmo. My favorite Sesame Street character. Shout out to Elmo. I was him for Halloween one year, which was awesome. But yeah, I mean, if we could tell Elmo about the Flyers right now, he'd probably need some, Elmo might need a beer. I don't know how old Elmo is, but we'd probably be like, Elmo,
Elmo's
like
over 21.
A cold Miller.
Elmo was a thing when I was a kid.
Yeah. But like I said, the Flyers, you know, they're on a skid lately. They just lost their fifth game in a row on Saturday afternoon against the big bad Bruins. I hate to call them that, but they're still very good. And, you know, I think before we get into, well, I guess we touched on every game except for the Red Wings and the Bruins games, right?
Yeah, we did, because last podcast they were on a 3-game losing streak.
Okay, I'm going to give my 2 cents here on the Red Wings game quick. It sucked. Flush it down the toilet. The Flyers got shut out by former Flyers goalie Alex Lyon.
By Alex fucking Lyon. Really? Yeah. A career
minor
league. That's
where you're going to use our F-bomb, Dave.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. It's okay. I'm sorry. It's just Alex Lyon, really? Really?
It's the, like, Flyers. What do you expect?
I know he's been like, he had the flash of the pan last year with Florida, where he kind of had his Hamburglar moment, and then this year he's been up and down with Detroit, and he's kind of like Detroit's starting goalie right now. But I'm sorry, Alex Lyon is still not a good NHL goalie. Like, really, Flyers? Really? You got shut out by Alex Lyon? Like, bruh, come on.
Yeah. That was definitely a game that was more frustrating than anything. The Flyers had their chances. You know, obviously they don't get anything past Alex Lyon. They lose 3-0 in Detroit to extend their losing streak to 4 games. And then, Dave, again, we are in our misery. You know, I was lucky enough to be in attendance. I don't know if lucky is the word at that point. But I was fortunate enough to be in attendance on Saturday at the game. Mutual friend of ours, Kyle, you know, he's nice enough to hook me up with an extra ticket. Actually won the tickets in a raffle, so they were free. Well, free for me. He paid to win the raffle. But very nice seats, I must say. We were 9 rows off the glass on the side that the Flyers shoot twice. So A-plus location. D, F-minus game, because up until the 12-minute mark of the first period, the Flyers had all the momentum going their way. You know, pace of play is good. They're sticking with the Bruins on the forecheck, all that type of stuff, getting shots on goal. I think they were heavily out shooting the Bruins.
They were.
And then, you know, who else but David Pastrnak, with about, you know, 10 minutes left in the period, gets a, you know, from downtown 3-point shot past
Sam. It was a filthy shot, to be fair.
I think he got screened. But anyway, I'm going to give Ayerson a little bit of the benefit of the doubt there. But that didn't just spring a leak. It broke the entire dam for the Flyers, because in a span of another 6 minutes, they were down 4-0 at the end of the first period. It doesn't stop there. They bring in goaltender Cal Peterson. Dave, I know you have thoughts on Peterson. I'll let you get to it when I give you the talking stick. Peterson faces, I think it was his first shot went in the net, off some terrible scramble in front of the net. I got to luckily see that up close. Yay.
Hooray.
Yeah. And then, you know, it just was one of those games where I kept saying, I'm like, listen, momentum's a bitch. And it was all Bruins for, you know, pretty much the rest of the game.
It Tyson got Forrester had two nice goals.
Yeah, I was gonna say, he had his first goal was a nip. Second one was a nice, you know, put in a nice rebound. Luckily, those were both on the end that I was sitting at too, so I saw those up close.
So you saw all the action, you know?
Yeah, I saw some of it. But I gotta say, man, Bruins fans are annoying.
They call them assholes for a reason.
I will have to say, and people are probably going to hate me for saying this, but there were four people sitting in front of me that were Bruins fans. They were actually nice. They were civil. They were actually talking to me about where to get cheesesteaks. I was like, don't go to Pat's or Gino's. I said, we'll see if you agree with this. I said, Joe's in Fishtown, D'Alessandro's, or Steve's in the Northeast.
Agree.
Okay. So.
Round of applause for you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well done. You chose my also top three.
Okay. And they were actually, it was funny. They were like, I expected this place to be a lot more rowdy. And I'm like, have you watched the Flyers at all the past 10 years? Like, this is the first year in, you know, probably 3 or 4 years that this place is full on a Saturday afternoon for a game.
And it took literally half of the season for the arena to start getting full. And now the fans are coming back. The Flyers are starting to suck again.
Yeah, and I was also like, well, I'm also sober right now, so, you know, I'm a little bit nicer and not looking to, like, you know, mother F you the whole time.
Give me a few more Miller lattes and that could change.
Yeah, if you want to buy me, you know, 3 or 4 $15 beers, then I'll be like, hey, man, I love Boston. But anyway, they were nice. They were cool. There are a couple guys that were – holy crap. There was a dude with like Jeffrey Dahmer glasses on that was a Bruins fan, and this guy was annoying. And I was like, man, I wish I could throw something at this guy because he won't just like, he won't shut the hell up. But anyway, it was also, I guess I should get to the only like entertaining part of the game for the most part. It was Mark Recchi, his Hall of Fame induction. Dave, I know how you feel about that.
He's cursed the Flyers yet again. Mark Recchi, Hall of Fame day, and they get blown out by his former team that he won a cup with.
Yep. I will say that it was definitely a lot more packed for this ceremony than, like, the train derailment of, was it Paul Holmgren and Rick Tocchet a couple years ago?
They were both at that game, and that was...
Yeah. So... I think they did it right this time by actually advertising the fact that it was going to be, you know, before the game, when to be in your seats, all that type of stuff. So kudos to the Flyers for getting that right. It was a cool ceremony with Recchi, a lot of Flyers alumni that he played with. Your boy Big E, Eric Lindros, was there. They did a cool tribute video, a bunch of people, you know, from the Flyers past. The GOAT himself, Simone Gagné, sent in a video, so I saw him. And then, you know, great ceremony. They put his name on a banner in the rafters. The first person in 2 years, to get inducted in the Flyers Hall of Fame. And then, speaking of alumni, too, it was also a homecoming for one James Van Riemsdyk for obviously now a member of the Boston Bruins. He got a nice tribute video. I think he also had 3 points in the game, too.
Yeah, didn't he score?
He scored, and I'm pretty sure he had at least 2 assists.
Yeah, he's lighting it up with the Bruins. Thanks, James. Yeah. Thanks, yep. James. Missed that play from the past couple of years when you were in town.
Yep. So, you know, the past 2 times I've been to a Flyers Bruin game have been rough, dude.
Oh, yeah, you were to that game last year, too.
Yeah, and that was...
Maybe it's you.
It's probably me. I just can't go to Flyers Bruins games anymore. But I will say, though, it was good that this game was not 70% Bruins fans. There were still a lot of Bruins fans, which I was not fond of. But, you know, there was a lot of orange, especially for a Saturday afternoon game. It's a step in the right direction crowd-wise. But once again, you know, the Flyers, I don't know what happened. I mean, again, they had all the momentum in the first half of the period. You get scored on once. Next thing you know, you're down 4 goals. And, you know, they get 2, but then they lose 6-2. I think Peterson found his footing a little bit later in the game. I was going to throw up from how corny the stupid-ass hug for the goalies for the Bruins is. They did that after the game, and I was like...
Oh, Swayman and Ullmark?
Yeah, I was like, dude, this is so dumb. And then, you talk about Hampus Lindholm and Ullmark going down like a house of cards. Those couple penalties, I don't know if you saw those on TV, Dave, if you're watching the game.
This was the second game all year I've turned off.
When
the Bruins made it 4-0, I turned the game off. I was like, I'm not watching this anymore.
I mean, you talk about a couple Oscar-worthy performances. You might see them at the Academy Awards soon because
was it almost as bad as Tim Stützle last night against Nashville, where UC Saros made a save and then Stützle fell over Saros' pad and they called Saros the goalie for tripping when he was making a save?
Yep.
I don't know if you've seen that play, but that's some good acting from Stützle, too.
Yeah, so, you know, rough stretch here for the Flyers. Luckily, they kind of, you know, I can't even say they pretty much just kind of limp into the All-Star break at this point.
But it's a good thing it's happening right now.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think timing can't really be much better, especially with all the off-ice stuff that's going on. You know, a lot of these guys will be on vacation for the next few days. Just kind of getting mentally reset, physically reset, all type of stuff. And their next game in February is in Florida against the Panthers next Tuesday, the 6th. And then they are back home against the Winnipeg Jets on Thursday, the 8th. Actually, they have a 1-2-3-3 game homestand into mid-February. The 8th against the Jets, the 10th against the Seattle Kraken, and the 12th against those Arizona Coyotes. So, you know, they don't necessarily ease back into things after the break, but we'll see if this, you know, these few days off give them a little bit of life here after a few days away from the ice. But, yeah. Dave, I know, you know, you turned the game off. Any thoughts on kind of how you're feeling or what your thoughts are surrounding the Flyers on ice play as they are now in the All-Star break until a week from now?
Yeah, I mean, I echo your thoughts on the Detroit game. You know, I kept on watching that game and going, yeah, they're down 3-0, but it's Alex Lyon. It's Alex Lyon. Like, guys, come on.
Gotta at least get one.
Exactly. Like at least get one. And then he's proven he's shaky after he allows one. Like, this is still a game. And that was a loss where I was like, you know what? They might have lost 3-0. They might have got shut out to a minor league goaltender. But that happens every once in a while. And I thought overall they looked okay. Sucks they were then on a 4-game losing streak. And I was like, oh, you know what? They got the Bruins Saturday. They're back at home ice. They're going to be fired up. Things aren't so great. Let's see what happens. And just it was like they looked like the team from last year and previous years again, where they were in it, they were competing, they were dominating, And then Pasternak scores that first goal, and it was like all the air coming out of the balloon.
Yep.
And bang, 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 you're down 4-0. And then I just said, screw it. I've got better things to do with my Saturday. So I turned off the game. I was like, you know what? I'm not ashamed to admit it on the podcast. Like, I know I'm supposed to be watching these games to provide hard-hitting, critical analysis of Flyers hockey. But when you're down 4-0 after one, like, stranger things have happened. Like, I watched them one at one point. I know my senior year of high school, I'm dating myself. In the wintertime of 2009, I believe, the Flyers were at home playing against the Carolina Hurricanes, wearing their away uniforms, and Taro Niinimäki was in net. The Flyers went down 5-0 and then came back and won 6-5 in a shootout. I think that's like the last time I've seen a goal deficit of 4 or more goals being erased for the team to win. They've came back from bigger deficits in the season, i.e. the Detroit game earlier in December, but they still lost that game. Like, that's the Carolina game in 2009 is like the one victory.
Mm-hmm.
With a huge deficit like that. But just really deflating. With all the news going on, it's clearly affected the team. So this, there being their bye week happening this week prior, because right now half the league is on their bye week before the All-Star break. The second half of the league will be on their bye week after the All-Star game. The Flyers currently have it now. So a lot of guys getting some key rest. They're resetting. They're getting the rest and relaxation. I believe I saw that Poehling, Forrester, Frost, and Farabee are all vacationing together in Mexico.
And
so the boys are still hanging out. So this is a key. This is a nice thing to have, because in years past, the Flyers would go on these streaks at like the worst time when they had just a flood of games.
Mm-hmm.
They had this 5-game losing streak, and they have over a week off. It's like, okay, cool. I'm like, that right there is a momentum just stopper. It stops everything. Even if they were on a roll, you'd be like, you know what? Their momentum's gone because it's just too much time off. So this is a good thing. They'll get away. They'll reset the mind. They'll reset the body. They'll come back. And I'm really looking forward to hopefully see them start off the second half of their season in Florida on a bigger and brighter note. Going into Cal Peterson, I know Danny Briere said in his mid-season press conference last week that the Flyers are not deviating from the plan at all, and that they're not going to trade assets away that take away from the rebuild. I just think, well, I used to be a fan of Cal Peterson, and I think there still could be something there, potentially. Mm-hmm. If you're a team who's in a playoff spot and you're serious about wanting to at least see where you can go and see if you can still make the playoffs, you need to get another solution behind Sam Harrison. It cannot be Cal Peterson or Felix Sandstrom. Let them figure it out in the minors. Sorry, not sorry. Because I feel like Sam Harrison, he's at the point where, yes, he's a younger goalie. This is his first full year of the National Hockey League. And yes, while it's amazing, he's the one goalie who's been selected to represent rookies at the All-Star game. So the Flyers technically do have two All-Stars now, besides him and Travis Konecny.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like he needs that other veteran, experienced goalie behind him that he can lean on, because I worry about him and the Flyers going, guess what, Sam, you're our starter for the rest of the year. Have fun. Like, there's something there with Sam Harrison, and I think he has all the tools and can become a starting, potentially elite NHL goaltender, but he's not there yet. And I don't like who the Flyers have behind him in the depth chart. So if I'm Danny Briere, if this team keeps on reeling, I am selling off every single unrestricted free agent on this team at the deadline. I am selling. 50% off for Mon Mills. Stretch those bills. Sell it. But I make it a key importance, regardless of how this season goes, is you bring in a veteran goaltender who you can throw in there and be confident in that he's going to play well if Sam Harrison gets pulled or if Sam needs a night off. Because right now, the Flyers, they are not using Felix Sandstrom as an option. He is a non-option. He is in the minors. He is playing for the Lehigh Valley Phantoms. He is not touching the NHL ice and will not most likely not be in this organization come next season. So they're staying far away from him. Cal Peterson, you gotta get away from him somehow. Because I just feel like if they keep Erson and Cal Peterson, to me, that's them waving the white flag on this year. They're going, you know what? It is what it is. We played well half the year. Now we're going to suck. And I get it. We're rebuilding. And that could have always happened, even with Carter Hart and Sam Harrison as the goalie tandem. But now, looking at it from a hockey goggle point view-wise, they are worse off in net. Like Harrison, but they need someone else with him. And I feel like the deadline is a good spot where they can get someone who can give you just a little bit more and who can the fans and the team, more importantly, can have more confidence in. Just because Peterson, based on what I've seen this year, both from his limited time with the Flyers and from clips I've seen with the Phantoms, doesn't have it anymore. And he's got a big cap hit at $5 million. Yike. So they got, that is the, besides unloading UFAs at the deadline, if this season keeps on going the way it's going, they still need to get goaltending help. Big time. Like, that is a must in my book, if I were Danny Briere.
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting, you know, with the whole Cutter Gauthier situation, with the...
Quitter.
Sorry, Quitter Gauthier.
Thank you.
Put on a t-shirt.
I think a certain podcast already has, but we're boycotting that podcast just like Torts is. So,
I see what you did there. But yeah, so I mean, again, I think the Flyers, you know, have their not homework, but they have work to do because this season has obviously taken a lot of twists and turns. And I think, again, you know, they've been overperforming or at least outperforming people's expectations, maybe even themselves. So it's going to be interesting to see what does happen now, again, with the, you know, the Carter Hart situation where, like you said, Dave, the Flyers don't have their 1A and 1B anymore. You have, you know, a 1B and a backup goalie.
No, you have a 1B and a minor league goalie right now. That's what you have.
Yeah. So they're going to need to bolster the back end some way, shape, or form, like you said, to get some confidence in these guys again, especially if they are going to, you know, make the playoffs, which is crazy to think about. You know, if you would have told me that 6 months ago, I would have been like, I don't know. But
they're still in a playoff spot right now. So,
yeah. Luckily, you know, we have some positives to talk about with the Flyers. Again, they're on their break right now, but we did have two contract extensions that were handed out over the past week, just a day apart from each other. I'm going to get to the, I won't call it less exciting, but the more minor one. On Saturday, the 27th, just 3 days ago. Yeah, Saturday. I guess they announced this right after the game was over.
Literally, like, right after the game.
Yeah. According to the Flyers website by Philadelphia Flyers on philadelphiaflyers.com, the Flyers today announced the club has signed forward Ryan Poehling to a 2-year, $3.8 million contract extension with a $1.9 million AAV starting with the 2024-25 season, according to general manager Danny Briere. Poehling is currently, I didn't know he's only 25.
Yeah, he's still young.
That's crazy. I don't know why I thought he was so much older. Anyway. He's currently 25.
He's been in the league for a while.
Yeah, I guess. He owns 14 points in 45 games in his first season with the Orange and Black. He's a 6'2", 204-pound native of Lakeville, Minnesota, and leads the team forwards in blocked shots and ranks tied for fourth on the team in shorthanded points with two. He tied his career-high three-point game on November 19th against the Columbus Blue Jackets, including the game-winning goal, and also registered his fifth career multi-goal game back on December 19th.
I found an inaccuracy in the Flyers report. His career high is a four-point game because he scored four goals in his NHL debut when he was with the Montreal Canadiens.
Oh.
So, Flyers, then do your homework.
Damn.
Got him.
Oh, this says he netted his first career hat trick in his NHL debut.
Yeah, and he had four goals in that game. I'm like 99% positive on.
Yeah, maybe I guess a career high goal per game is different than a point per game.
But then
that would still be 4 points.
Exactly.
All right, at NHL Flyers, explain yourselves.
Maybe it is possible that I could be wrong. Hold on.
Both can be true, Dave. You know, we don't have to be locked into one thing nowadays. Everyone thinks you have to have, you know, one opinion or blah, blah, blah. I'm just going to try to stall until you possibly find something. But anyway, Poehling was signed again back in July of 2023 over the summer as a free agent with the Flyers. But again, now has a 2-year, $3.8 million contract extension. While you're still looking that up, Dave, I think this
Flyers
is
right.
Good.
It was just 3 points. He only had three goals in his debut. So I was wrong. Sorry, Flyers. I take back the goddamn.
Stymied again. Anyway.
I swore it was four goals, but I was wrong. I digress.
That's all right. Hey, you know, we're allowed to be wrong. It's okay.
We're not perfect.
Exactly. But I like this deal for the Flyers. I think Poehling has been a very good depth guy this year. You know, he has that skill as a forward, but also that like kind of grinder mentality. I like our line of, you know, it's Poehling, Nick DeLaurier, and Garnett Hathaway is our fourth line. I think it's a great fourth line.
It was.
Yeah. I think
DeLaurier's kind of been shitty lately.
I don't know. His fight in Detroit when he squared off against that
one.
That's
the best thing he's done in about a month.
That was badass. When you go full like gentleman fight and take the helmets off, all that type of stuff, even though you get an extra penalty for it, you know, that's hockey right there, as they say.
To quote Shorzy, so dumb.
Yeah. But I like this Poehling deal. It doesn't break the bank. He's only, you know, here for another 2 years, and we know that, you know, this sure as hell isn't going to be a three-year type of rebuild for the Flyers, especially with, you know, the luck they've had.
Dare I say it? Potentially a Scott Laughton replacement?
Hoagie's not going to like you for that one.
I know. Sorry, Hoags, but Scotty Lotz is another conversation we need to have because he's taken couple steps backwards this year.
All right, we have to get off topic quickly here, but Dave, off the cuff, sentiment aside, do you think Scott Laughton is a Flyer after this year's trade deadline?
How many years does he have left on his deal? Hold on.
Doesn't matter. You just gotta answer.
Well, it depends on his contract situation entirely.
It's supposed to be spontaneous.
I'm going to say this is really
hot seat, man. Hot seat.
Hold on. I need to see the actual like facts in front of me to make
this is taking away from the on the spotness, though. Come on.
No, I do not think. I think if the Flyers keep on losing this year. And their season's headed towards the dumpster. I think he is one of the pieces that's traded to a contending team.
Okay.
But to confirm my thoughts here, Scott Laughton was signed to an extension. So he has this season plus next season and the season after that at $3 million. Which is a very solid contract for a third line forward like he is. I think he's better suited at the wing, and I think the Flyers need to get back to using him the way they used him last year because I think he'll improve. but he's 29 years old. If the Flyers are really committing to a rebuild, he's not someone you keep around for all 3 years, potentially, of the deal. But he also, in that same light, he's the only player wearing a letter still by Torts. And there's a good chunk of the fan base that want him to be the next captain because I think he would succeed very well in being that good, vocal, important, team-building captain under John Tortorella. But that being said, I feel like if a contending team offers you potentially a first-round pick at the deadline, even though it's going to be a later one, you take it.
Food for thought.
Food for thought. Sorry, Hoagie.
Ah, get it? Hoagie. His nickname's Hoagie. Food.
Yes, haha, haha.
This one's for you, Hoagie. We're making dad jokes for you.
One might say we're on a roll.
Oh, my God. Podcast is over. We're
thank
done.
You, thank you. Thank you.
No. Moving on, Dave. Our second contract. All I have to say.
I do like the Paley extension.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Big fan. Like what he's done so far. He's a fourth liner who can fill in your third line of time being. Love the deal. Well done to AB. On a tippet.
Good guy. Loves to play hard, as they say.
Loves the game. Tries hard. Loves
the game. Yep. This next one needs little to no introduction. If you didn't know, you'll know. But it's about to be, as I say, tip season for the next 8 seasons. As the Flyers announced on... It was official on Friday, the 26th, but it was unofficial with reports and such before that. Either way, the man himself, Owen Tippett, a long-term deal, wants to be a Flyer, loves Philadelphia. I love the kid. I don't even care. but he signed an 8-year deal worth $49.6 million with a $6.2 million AAV, again, starting next year. Tippett, currently 24 years old, has 30 points in 46 games this season, is a native of Peterborough, Ontario, leads the Flyers in even strength goals and shots on goal, ranks tied for first in game-winning goals, second in goals, and is tied third in scoring, and skated in his 200th career NHL game back on October 28th against Anaheim and tallied his 100th career NHL point on November 15th against the Carolina Hurricanes. The kid, over the last season and a half has really come into his own skill-wise. I mean, you see it, he's on IR technically right now, but I think that's just the Flyers resting him for the All-Star break, which mm-hmm. makes sense. You obviously want him to be, happy and healthy. You could have him. Maybe he's happy. But you want him at least healthy.
If I signed a contract extension that was worth for $49.6 million, I'd be very happy.
I was going to say, even if I just had, part of his AAV at $6.2 million, I'd be extremely happy.
Ecstatic.
Yeah. Yep. All kidding aside, I think he's been, one of, if not the Flyers' brightest young stars over the past season and a half. You could really argue that he has been, connecting. I feel like at this point is really a veteran. Tippett this season especially, just dominates. You saw his goal against the Stars. He had a really good goal against Anaheim in Anaheim. Just putting on a show out there to a point. He clocked in at the fastest skater in the entire NHL on a speed burst in overtime. I think it was against – who was it? I forget. It was a home game.
I forget, too.
I'm blanking. Bad radio. Anyway, it was a game against someone in which the Flyers went into overtime, and Tippett, looked like he was shot out of a cannon. To skate down part of the ice and unfortunately did not score. But the kid is all right, as they say. He's been more than all right. He's been great. Is it still too early to say that the Giroux trade was successful? I don't know if successful is the right word.
I mean, I would say yes, because at the time when the Giroux trade happened, as big Drew guy. Always have been. He's on my personal Mount Rushmore of Flyers all time greats.
He had a great goal last night.
Oh yeah, he did for Ottawa. I was not a fan of the return that we got for Claude Giroux. But Owen Tippett is happily proving me wrong.
Yes.
So I would say it is a success, because Owen Tippett, if he keeps on progressing the way he's been progressing since he's become a Flyer, you know, he will be a 35 to 40 goal scorer every year for this team, and be one of the leaders in points and scoring. And that's a damn good get in for trading your captain away. So,
yep.
And also, you have to think the draft pick the Flyers got, one of them, the third round pick that they got from Florida, 95th overall, they used on Denver Barkley, who is killing it with the London Knights right now. Mm-hmm. So as of right now, the Drew trade is looking very nice.
Nice. Dave, I think with that finally does it for Flyers coverage this week. I know we've been kind of harping on here for a little bit, but we do have a little bit of around the league type of stuff to go over, mainly the All-Star game. I know that this is kind of a cringy weekend for the NHL, but, you know, it's still fun to kind of see what these players can do. I know, Dave, we might get together at your place on Friday to celebrate the festivities. Maybe have a couple of responsible brouhahas as well. We'll see what the night brings. But just want to go through the All-Star game and All-Star weekend stuff quickly here. You can give your thoughts on kind of what you're expecting. You know, we know how this all works for the most part. It's kind of changed over the years, but also not really. First up, I believe we have it's the All-Star Draft. Yeah.
Yes.
They're doing the fantasy draft on Thursday night in Toronto. There'll be four different teams. They won't be by division. They'll just draft teams. You know, obviously each team has a captain. We went over that for the most part last week. We won't really harp too much on that anyway. So there'll be that. That'll be Thursday. And then Friday night, the 2nd, I can't believe it's already February, pretty much. There will be the skills competition, which will be great. This will be 12 All-Stars competing in multiple events for points, and the winner takes home $1 million. So that's cool. There'll be points in 8 events, again, with the person who accumulates the most points taking home $1 million prize. So I'll give a quick rundown here. Each player will compete in 4 of the first 6 events, earning points for their respective finish in each event. We have the fastest skater competition, the hardest shot, the stick handling challenge, one-timers, passing challenge, and accuracy shooting. Round 2, we have the top 8 point earners advancing to the 7th event, which will be the NHL one-on-one, where each player will choose the goalie they will shoot against. I guess that's just like a shootout?
Essentially, yeah. It's like a shootout challenge.
Following the shootout. There we go. The final event will be with the top 6 point earners, the NHL obstacle course, where points are doubled. Don't know what the obstacle course will consist of, but I'm sure it'll be something pretty interesting. Dave, before I move on to the main event of the actual All-Star game, any thoughts on the fantasy draft or the skills competition?
I'm excited they're bringing the draft back. I'm looking forward to watching that to see, who gets picked last. That's like the big thing. I remember that years ago with Phil Kessel. But honestly, that's the thing I'm most looking forward to this weekend is the draft Thursday night, because the rest of the All-Star game, it's the same stuff. And the 3-on-3 tournament will be fun to watch Saturday afternoon, of course. I know you haven't got there yet, so I'm kind of spilling the beans, but everyone kind of knows it's coming. The skills comp will be interesting because not every player's contributing this year. Only certain players are going to be going to participate in it. So that's going to be interesting. But no, overall, I think I'm most excited for the draft Thursday evening, but I will look forward to watching and then potentially making fun of the NHL ridiculously for how the skills comp and games go.
Yes, and then as you alluded to, obviously the All-Star game itself will be on Saturday afternoon starting at 3 o'clock at Scotiabank Arena in Toronto. It'll be broadcast here in the States on ABC and ESPN+. There will be four squads comprised of 11 players, nine skaters, and two goalies, if you're curious. They'll compete in a single elimination tournament, which will, again, be the All-Star game. And the winning team, I'm sure, I think the MVP will probably get some sort of car. It'll be the H-word sponsor, but we don't get paid for sponsorships here, so no free ads. But, you know, Honda, if you do want to sponsor us, just let us know. but I'm sure someone will get a car and some money. And then, you know, the winning team, I think they all get some sort of bonus. I think that's kind of how it works. They all split like some sort of pot of money. But yeah, I mean, it should be a fun weekend. I don't really expect anything, you know, out of the ordinary, so to speak. I think the NHL, I feel like the All-Star game, I don't even know if it would be this really. It might be more fun for the people that are actually there.
Yes.
As opposed to the fans that are watching at home.
Yes. It's kind of similar to the MLB All-Star game experience where it's fun for the fans whose city it's in. But for everyone else, kind of sucks.
Yeah.
No, so I just feel like in general, Matt, the NHL needs to get the All-Star game back to being something the players want to do, which we've alluded to many times on this podcast because it's not it right now.
Yeah. But before we go, Dave, we finally, emphasis on the word finally, another emphasis on the word finally.
About freaking time.
One more emphasis on the word finally, have the Stadium Series jerseys for the Flyers along with the other three teams, the Rangers, Islanders, and Devils, that have been unveiled at long last. We finally have an official visual as opposed to some of the photoshopped dumpster fires that we saw online.
Thank God they're not the drafts that we saw that were rumored to be true.
But let me just go to Twitter here and pull these jerseys up quick. I'm going to do my best to describe them over radio.
Flyers do have the best one out of all four teams involved.
Yes.
I think if I had to rank them, I would personally go, Matt, I would go Flyers, Rangers, Islanders, Devils.
Mm-hmm.
And the Islanders and Devils jerseys both really suck. Like, at the New Jersey Devils, did you just call up the Flyers and go, hey, listen, your same series jerseys from, from 2019?
Yep.
You know, can we just copy your homework? We won't make it too obvious. And no, they made it obvious. Those jerseys stink. The Islanders jerseys are essentially Edmonton Oilers jerseys, and they just have big bolt aisles in the middle. Like, am I shopping? Am I walking down the aisle for something? Like, what's going on here?
That's a different form of aisle.
Yeah. And then just the Rangers are just kind of like, oh, it's a Rangers jersey with just big font on it. Cool. Whereas the Flyers actually were given something that's like, this is, I think, their most unique jersey they've had since the 2012 Winter Classic.
Yeah, I do like the Flyers jerseys. I'll start with those. I don't know what the NHL, Adidas, Fanatics, whoever the hell makes these jerseys, what do they have against number outlines nowadays? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I feel like if the numbers on the Flyers jersey had an outline, they'd be a little crisper. Just like a black outline on them.
The only outlining on any four of these jerseys, numbers-wise, is the Rangers jersey.
Yeah.
Everyone else is just solid colored. Like, I guess on the sleeve of the Islanders jerseys, because they have, like, the orange rings on the, like, the elbows, they're technically. But, I mean, I don't know. I feel like you got to add a little bit more, you know, line action to these things. But no, I mean, I like these Flyers jerseys. They're not, you know, anything. They weren't what I was expecting in a good way, because we saw some, you know, possible mock-ups or, you know, what people thought were going to be the jerseys, and it was just a big yikes, as they say. The Devils, again, just copied the Flyers and the Penguins from the 2019 Stadium Series. Let's just take out all the white and leave the other two primary colors being red and black. Islanders, not worth my time. I like the Rangers ones. I think the big NYR is cool. It's obviously, you know, just a bigger version of Rangers that goes down the actual Rangers jerseys. I think these are better than the ones that they released with, like, the neon lines on the sleeves.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
But no,
Shocker,
I mean,
you and Flyers, I agree on something on our podcast, you know?
Yeah. I think, again, you know, I'm happy with these jerseys. I think they are pretty cool. It's going to be interesting. I'm not being old man yells at cloud when I ask this, but do you think that the Flyers will ever stray away on the jersey from, like, their actual crest? You know what I mean?
I don't know, because they never have in their past.
Yeah.
It would be cool to see, like, a diagonal, like, font Flyers.
Or Philly.
That would be kind of cool, but I don't ever see them doing it. They've always, when the Flyers have always done a jersey, they've always stuck with the flying P.
Yeah.
They've always had that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, they made some changes, like, back in the 2000s when they had the chrome jersey. They made, like, they changed it and made it a little more chromized.
Yeah.
Chromified.
Everything is chrome in the future.
I know. But, yeah, I don't know. The Flyers have always stuck, like, this is our logo, and this is our logo forever and ever. Amen. But I don't know.
Mind
like,
it.
Maybe, like, those mocked Philadelphia Tigers jerseys that the Flyers were rumored to wear in 2012 that had the Flyers cursive going diagonally down. I think those are sick. And the Flyers will look good wearing those.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I mean, to me, this jersey is clean.
Yeah.
Besides the current jerseys they're wearing right now for this season, they're both new home and away jerseys.
Mm-hmm.
I would have these same series jerseys become their new alternates. I would replace the black alternates they're wearing now with these going forward.
Yeah, I think, I mean, again, they're simple, but I think, you know, looking at especially the Devils and the Islanders jerseys, the NHL has gotten too simple with their jerseys. I mean, the All-Star jerseys are a different story, but I think that these, you know, the Flyers ones at least and the Rangers ones are, you know, crisp, clean. They get the point across, so to speak, and there's no, you know, bells or whistles, which is a good thing. You know, it's a classic hockey jersey, and that's what you need.
And they should have been released a lot longer than they were.
Yeah.
But part of me thinks, knowing some of these teams involved, that certain players might have been involved in the marketing of these jerseys, and the NHL kind of went, whoops, can't do that anymore.
Yeah. But hey, you know, they're finally here. I know, Dave.
And I'll get mine in mid-March.
Yeah, you pre-ordered yours. Those will be here, you know, almost a month after the game. Maybe sooner, hopefully, you know, you never know.
Probably not.
But I'm going to make it my mission. I was hoping that they were going to be selling them at the game on Saturday. They were not, but I did ask a very friendly Wells Fargo Center employee who was working in the store, and she asked her supervisor, and I was told that the jerseys would be on sale at the arena starting on the 8th against the Jets. So I'm going to make it my mission to be at that game. Maybe they're together, Dave, boots on the ground, 5-minute major. You never know. It could happen. And I'm going to spend, as I said that I wouldn't 6 months ago, I'm going to spend some of my hard-earned money on a new Flyers jersey.
I feel like, though, after the way they played this year, they've earned it. And the way the franchise is going, I feel like, I know my grandmother will kill me for saying this, but I truly am comfortable with the direction that Keith Jones and Danny Briere and John Tortorella and the players have this team going. Mm-hmm. And I have no problem giving them my hard-earned money anymore again.
Yeah. Well, plus
I know what the plan is.
Yeah. I think, too, like, you know, my thinking is that the current home and away jerseys they have now are here to stay for the foreseeable future.
Yes.
So it's like, I'd rather spend money now on the, like, quote unquote specialty jersey.
Yep.
And then, you know, if stuff goes on sale during the summer, buy one of those online then.
Fan Appreciation Day. Last home game of the year normally. Jerseys are like 60% off at the arena.
Ooh. There we go. Business. So, we're talking business.
That like might it. Be a game where boots on the ground is necessary.
Boots on the ground and wallets out of our pockets.
Credit cards out.
There we go.
Credit cards out for the boys.
Yep. There we go.
Is that a saying? I don't think it is.
We can make it one.
Respectfully.
But anyway, financially responsibly. Yeah. You know, we had a hell of a podcast tonight. Obviously, we had to start things out serious. But, you know, we end on a positive note. We end on a fun note. We end going into, excuse me, the NHL All-Star Weekend coming up here. And I think for me, at least, there remains a lot of hope for the Flyers. And as my man Red in Shawshank Redemption said, Morgan Freeman's character, if you didn't know his actual name, hope is the best of thing. Wait, hope is a good thing. Maybe even the best of things, and no good thing ever dies. So that's my mantra as the Flyers are in the midst of the All-Star break, their first game back again being February 6th, next Tuesday in Florida against the Panthers. And, you know, we roll on to the second half of the season from there with hope, and, you know, we hope that hope works. And
yes.
I think the next bridge that the Flyers will cross, obviously, will be the trade deadline. There'll be tons and tons of speculation around that. There may be some tough, you know, departures the Flyers make. But also, again, I think anything for the betterment of the future and the hope, again, that the Flyers can once again become a Stanley Cup contender.
Yes, yes, you have.
And with that, I step off my soapbox and give you the talking stick to close the curtain on our podcast for the week.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, well said, Matt. And thank you to our listeners. I know this week, you know, we're this is probably the longest pod that we've done in a couple months. So thank you for listening to this one. Again, like you mentioned, Matt, we had to start the pod on a very heavy, heavy, heavy topic. So thank you for, I hope we brought the vibes back up a little bit after that heavy start. But this is now, of course, the part of the evening in this podcast where I tell all of our wonderful listeners that if you like what we do, check out our affiliates in the Pod Street Bullies, posting excellent weekly content, continuing to have excellent discussions on four so mentioned topics that we discussed earlier. They just dropped their weekly podcast for this week just last evening, Monday night. So check that out on their podcast, on your podcast feeds at PodSTBullies on Twitter. Great stuff from them as always. So if you like what we do, check out what they do because you'll enjoy that as well. But on that note, everyone, Master and I will be back next week with another, of course, another brand new hard-hitting episode of 5 Minute Major. Hopefully after a Flyers win would be nice next week. But everyone, enjoy the All-Star game this weekend. Enjoy your upcoming future Flyers hockey games. Just stay safe. Have a good time. And on that note, everyone, good night, good hockey, and let's go Flyers.